Secretary Weinberger, to get back to detente for just a minute, the anti-ballistic missile treaty is up for renewal or for review next year, 1982. Now, in light of what the president has said about linkage and in light of what the administration says is a growing Soviet threat, does the United States intend to renew the treaty or to continue the ABM treaty, or is that out the window?
Well, actually, the treaty just continues itself. When you said it's up for review, that is exactly the correct description. There's an opportunity for people on either side to suggest revision. In the absence of anything of that kind, the treaty continues. I think our decision would be based largely upon the military needs as they were perceived at that time. And if the Soviet expansion in the ballistic missile area continues as it has uninterruptedly for many years, new and stronger missiles being developed all the time, and if we had made some additional progress in the methods of combating these missiles, we might well want to look at some revisions to the anti-ballistic missile treaty and determine whether it was a more effective means of defense to put some defensive weapons or in place. This could only and would only be done after consultation with our NATO allies, because this is obviously a matter of great interest to them. I think that the quick short answer to your question is that there hasn't been a determination yet as to whether it would be necessary, and I think a lot will depend on what the situation looks like as we get closer to the revision period. Well, it is fair to say that we haven't ruled out the possibility of strengthening the anti-ballistic capability of the United States.
Well, will we tell that to the Russians? For instance, will we link Afghanistan to what our actions might be on ABM?
Well, I don't know if we're going to link any one specific thing. I think what we would want to look at would be the whole course and pattern of Soviet behavior at that time, and it also at our own technical capabilities in the field. I don't think that anything is excluded, but I emphasize again that in as important a matter as a revision or eventual abandonment of the anti-ballistic missile treaty, we would only want to take actions of that kind after we'd had thorough and very complete discussions with and consultations with our NATO allies.
During our opening rather philosophical remarks about open-ended arms race or a goal, you made some remarks about not trying to build up to a point where we could negotiate some kind of a definitive and even-handed agreement of that sort. Do you have some time period? I remember that you said to the Senate committee that you thought we couldn't negotiate for at least 6 months, but I'm not sure I'm in the same ballpark talking about the same thing. Well, do you have some idea when we will be ready to negotiate? What conditions must be fulfilled?
I would hope we'd be ready soon. I think there are two or three types of things that we ought to watch for in determining whether it's a good time. At the Senate confirmation hearings, I did use the term of at least 6 months for two or three reasons. One was to disabuse the idea, the Senate or anybody, of the idea that America wanted to rush immediately into SALT negotiation treaties on January 21st. And that, I think, would have been a great mistake. I don't think we were ready in the sense not of being fully prepared as to what we would say, but from the point of view that the perception of America at that time was still, in my opinion, that of a very weak, irresolute, divided country that did not have either the type of military strength that we should have, nor did we apparently have any resolve to acquire it. Now, since that time, a great deal has happened. We've had two major signals sent to the Soviets and to the world, first by President Reagan on February 18th, when he announced a really revolutionary economic change of policy, that we were going to reduce very sharply the rate of growth of government on the non-defense side, that we were going to increase the defense expenditures in an effort to regain this strength. And you do it in two ways. You try to cut down inflation on the domestic side, and you try to increase your military strength. And then the second signal was sent when the testimony that I presented to the Senate Committee on our budget was given. And that indicated the size and the extent of the commitment we're making.
Now, but is that what you meant when you said we had to get along? You weren't talking about hardware, about missiles in silos?
I was talking about the importance of conveying to the world, and particularly to the Soviets, that there is indeed a new resolve in America, that President Reagan's election and his actions constitute a really watershed change in American policy, and that it's no longer safe for the Soviets or anyone to regard America as weak, irresolute, or divided, and that we have every intention now of regaining the strength that we have to have to enter into discussions of this kind, or if they fail, to face off with the Soviet Union. And that's essentially what I think has to be done, and in fact has been done. I don't think we have to wait till we acquire all the hardware to sit down and talk. I think we should sit down and talk. But the other thing that we have to look for is whether we're going to talk with a country that has any reasonable intention of keeping its word or entering into effective reduction talks. I don't think SALT II is in any way an effective reduction of strategic arms. And if the Soviets should go into Poland in any form of attempt to change the internal policies of Poland, then I would think they would have demonstrated very clearly that there was no point whatever in sitting down at the negotiating table to talk with a country that performed like that.